And as we open your word in a few moments, we pray for the Holy Spirit just to descend and anoint this message to our ears and to our hearts, that through it we might hear you speak to us deep within. By your hand of grace, enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We surrender our hearts and our minds to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, as we pray in the manner that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Handling stress. I think that would be a good title for a message this morning. It's actually a good enough title that it's part one of a two-part message. It kind of builds, though, on where we have come from, you know, and learning to wait on God and just allow him. That was last Sunday, and just allow him to be the one that provides for us the strength. But we need to take that another step. And I think it's suffice to say that this has been a stressful few months, for some more so than for others, and that some stress has become a new normal. And these are stressful times for many. There's a stress to not being able to congregate as a congregation. And we're not ready to open yet, even partially, as I have said. But we feel that we can best manage the needs of our congregation by simply continuing the way that we are. Now, I was speaking with someone this last week who was, we were just discussing this, you know, like, do we start to open or what do we do? And she said, well, you know what? I've kind of got used to seeing you on Sunday morning on my big screen TV, with my coffee and that. And she says, it's like having a front row seat. So I guess that's one of the benefits to the COVID broadcast, is everyone has a front row seat and you can have your coffee or whatever it is you like to drink in the morning along with you. Stress, though, is not a new normal. Stress is an old normal. Stress has been part of the human condition since the dawn of creation. Stress is not necessarily a bad thing. I get stressed over sermon preparation because I want to do it carefully and prayerfully. And bringing a message, I always have considered, and it is, to be a high and holy privilege and must never be taken lightly. Stress can be good, and that's one of the good things. Think of an elastic for a moment. Without stress, how much good would an elastic be? Unless you stretch it out and put it over something and make it useful, it's not useful. Right? It's not being used for anything. So without stress, it is not useful. Everyone faces stress of some kind. Some stress good, some of it not so. Some stress, you know, is personal. Some people are in stressful situations and they feel that. And they're going through a time where, you know, their loved ones are facing challenges, and even they themselves are facing challenges of various kinds, some very serious, like terminal brain cancer, like terminal ALS, like having family members who are in a hospital that you can't visit, having family members that are, you know, in their last hours and they can't visit. Or whatever situation, some facing unexpected surgeries. Stress. There is the stress of what's happening in your life. There is the stress of what's happening in our world. COVID is only a small part of all what is going on in the world. And we'll see more and more as we move closer to the Lord's return. So the question is this morning, what stresses you out? You know, what's stressing you out if you're feeling stressed? You know, is it your finances? Is it your health? Is it your work? Is it your marriage? Is it the kids, you know? Or is it life? Is it change and transition? Maybe COVID has you more stressed out than you realize. 75 to 90% of all visits to a doctor are stress-related. And 50% of deaths that occur between the years of 18 and 65 are stress-related. I wonder what changes at 65. And in any case, I'm not about to discover. Stress. Stress, the wrong kind or prolonged stress of any kind, can become a problem, and it can become a big problem. So when the stress has become too great, what then? Long before our modern day, you know, we tend to think stress is unique to this day and age, but it's not. Long before our modern day, the psalmist had some keen insights into handling stress, and he knew what stress was all about. You know, whenever life happens, you know what my favorite book in the Bible is when life is happening, and it happens a lot, is a book of Psalms. The Psalms speak so deeply to every issue of life, and I commend them to you. Psalm 46 is what I call the anti-stress psalm. It's a place I like to go when I'm feeling the pressure. Today, I want to look at five things that this passage assures us of, things to know, things to be assured of from this psalm about stress. Next week, I want to look at six things that come out of here that we can do. It's the practical application of what we know. So that's next week. So let me read some selected verses from Psalm 46, and you can follow along. I use the NIV Bible. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Look how David begins this incredible affirmation. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And then there's this word he uses. Therefore, this is the conclusion. This is what is the result of God being our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Because of all this, we will not fear. We will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. What trouble! Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. What a poetic picture of incredible stress and trouble. Now, I have never been in an earthquake. Some of you may have been. But I can appreciate that being in one would generate an awful lot of stress and anxiety. We have all seen news reports and pictures of the aftermath of earthquakes and tornadoes and the like. In David's song, he paints a picture for us of the worst kind of trouble that can come. The thing that causes you the greatest stress and fear, what is it? In the midst of that stress, regardless of how great that stress may seem, he says, remember first, this very first thing, you need not to be afraid because God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. David knows what he's talking about. David knew stress. As a shepherd boy, he knew the stress of having to take on a lion and a bear with his bare hands in order to protect his sheep, and with God's help, he killed them. And then, as a young man, standing before Goliath 9 feet tall, I don't know how tall David was, but it wasn't that tall. And Goliath was so tall that the entire Israelite army, not one of the soldiers would take him on. Even the king cowered before Goliath. And here's this young man, David. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He knew stress, but he knew God was his help and his strength. He knew the stress of his king wanting to kill him. King Saul, jealous of David's popularity, trying to kill him so David would go into hiding. And as I mentioned, I think a week ago, it was the Philistines who would give him refuge. Of course, there's 25 years intervening there. David knew the stress of wearing the crown. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. He knew the stress of sinning a great sin. And the journey back to God. He knew the stress of having a son, his son Absalom, in revolt against him and willing to kill his own father. Through David's experience, God is saying to us today, even if your stresses are so great that it seems as if your whole world might be falling apart, and the stresses seem just too great to manage, there are five things to be assured of. First of all, God is our. Our. That's personal possessive. Not David's alone, but ours, yours, and mine. That word is in the present tense. It is a word not for history alone, but a present help today. God is our, okay? This very day, just as much as in David's day. In fact, David emphasizes the point by saying that God is an ever-present help. He never forsakes, especially in times of trouble. He is ever-present. It means there's not a moment that he is absent, that he is ever-present regardless of how we may feel. Because there are times, I'm sure, going through deep waters when you wonder where God is because you're not feeling his presence. But I promise you, he's there, especially then. His presence is with us because he is ever present. All who know God in Christ can say, God is my help. God is our help. So that's the second thing I want to come to. God is our refuge. First of all, he's our, he's personal, and he's present. And then there is the fact that he is our refuge personally. The picture here in this word is that of it, like a storm cellar, a place where you would escape to from the danger, a refuge, a safe place where you can hide until the storm passes by. A lady who, from our congregation passing through some deep waters of her own right now. I quote this song not just for its message in here, but as an encouragement to her because it's one of her very favorite songs. Till the storm passes by in the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear me cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. In Old Testament times, certain cities were designated as cities of refuge, a place where you could flee to and be guaranteed safety from the one who is seeking to harm you out of revenge or whatever. The city was a refuge from your accuser. They could not touch you there. Never forget, folks, that Satan is at work to try and defeat you. His very name means accuser, and God is our refuge. From the one who points that finger at us of accusation and whispers, you're no good. Satan does that. There are lots better than you. You could never achieve that. You don't have what it takes. You've heard Satan whisper these things. God doesn't really want you. That's a lie right from the pit of hell. And we find the stress of low self-esteem and lack of confidence and all of the negative impacts spiritually and emotionally piling up on us. And we need a refuge, and we need a refuge in God's truth and in the presence of God. We need to realize again that we're created in the image of God and that you're loved by God, I'm loved by God, and His eye is on you, and His eye is on me, and His ear is inclined toward you. He's listening carefully as He is to me. He hears your prayer. He hears my prayer, and He responds. So the message of this psalm is, first, to take refuge, to find safety from your accuser and from the stresses and dangers that you face in God. Find your refuge in the knowledge and in the reality of His presence and of His love and of His care. Regardless of this type of storm and stress that we face, we know that He can see us safely through the storm. More of this song. Many times Satan whispered, "There's no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know Thou art with me, and tomorrow I will rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of Your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." He will. That's His promise to you. So endure the storm, whatever it is, and know that His hand is on you. Leave it in His hand. He is our safe place. But God is also our strength. When the pressures are greater than your strength, what is it that you need? Do you need less pressure or more strength? Now, that's an interesting question. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 reads, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Sound familiar? If you were listening last week, you'll recall those verses. God, last week, 2 weeks ago, God does not merely increase our strength. He gives us His strength. He allows us to rise above the ordinary, to accomplish the extraordinary, to bear with extraordinary strength, strength that we don't have on our own, whatever it is that we face. All too often, though, when the burdens come, we pray to God to remove the burden, when perhaps we need to be praying for added strength, for greater strength. See, we have no idea, you have no idea, I have no idea what God can do and what God can accomplish through the burdens that we bear. We just need His strength to bear them. There are good burdens. There is good stress. But there's also bad stress that we need to learn how to deal with. Some stress we just downright need to get rid of, okay, or deal with it. Other stress, we need to learn how to ask God for strength. That said, perhaps we should pray more often for strength, right, than for relief. The challenge for each one of us is to learn what it means to rely on God for the needed strength. Never underestimate, folks, what God can accomplish for His glory in you and ultimately through you, but He needs your permission. So learn what it means to ask for more strength. He is our strength. He is also an ever-present help. We have kind of drawn this out a little bit, but it is one of our points. God is an ever-present help in trouble. The psalmist wants to make certain we don't miss the point. He emphasizes it. In the King James Version, it says a very present help. And a help which is not present when it's needed is what? No help at all. He is our very present help. He is our ever-present help. The promise of the Lord to you and to me is that He will never leave us or forsake us or turn His back on us. He says, "Call unto me and I will answer you. The psalmist in Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes onto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The other thing that we learn, the fifth thing that we learn, that we can be assured of, the assurances that we need to know, is that His grace is abundant, sufficient, and never-ending. Let me read verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Now, when I read that verse, what happened inside of you? Did you track it? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't take particular notice of what was just transpiring in your soul. So I'm going to read it for a second time and pay attention to your inner self as I read this verse. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. At the very mention of the word river, what happened in your soul? Did it not relax a little? Was there not kind of a sense of refreshment and a little bit of re-energization and cleansing and healing and peace and all of those things that can be wrapped up? The sounds of a babbling brook, the sound of a flowing river, even the sound of an aquarium, these sounds are known to be a balm to the troubled soul. And there's a reason for that. Because a river speaks of the presence of God. The fountain of the water of life that flows up from the very depths of our soul if we're a believer. See, only the Christian can experience this. For Jesus is the one who is the water of life. And Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water I give him shall never thirst. What a balm. What a balm to our soul. Think you're in a desert place? Well, you may well be. But deep within you is this fountain filled with the water of His life-giving, sustaining grace. His grace is abundant, folks. It's sufficient and it's never-ending. There's a chorus that we used to sing a lot here. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. That's what the song is referring to. Charles Haddon Spurgeon writes of this verse, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. He writes of this verse, there is a river, divine grace like a smooth flowing, fertilizing, full and never failing river brings refreshment and comfort to believers. This is the river of the water of life. The church above as well as the church below drinks of it forever. It is not a boisterous ocean, but a placid stream. It has not stopped in its course by earthquakes or crumbling mountains. It follows a serene course without disturbance. Happy are those who know from experience that there is such a river, whose streams, for they are many, make glad the city of God. What are your stresses? Whatever they may be, you can be assured of His presence and help. He is our. He is your. He is my. He is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our help. And He's our abundant supply of grace. These are our assurances. And next week we will build on those, the things that we can do and need to do based on these assurances when our stresses come. God, through David, has some great things to share with us, actions that we can take to beat the stress. Let me also just advise you that next week will also be a communion service. God bless you. Lord, if there is anyone in the sound of my voice who is thirsting for the water of life. May they turn their heart toward you, toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the water of life, and receive from him. Lord, we commend and commit each one of ourselves to you again. And we pray that through your amazing grace, you would just continue to be at work in the hearts and lives of each one of your people. Help us, Lord, to know how to commit our situation to you and find in you the refuge, the help, the strength, and the grace that we need each and every day. To this end, we pray in the name of Christ our Savior, whom we love more than life itself. Amen.